And because of that, you are allowed and you are free and you are capable of living above your current circumstance. The Word of God says, now in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. But the Word of God tells you, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Now, so with that train of thought, how many of you right now, you can say, you know, there's some things that are uncomfortable for me in my life right now. There's battles that I'm facing right now. There's things that I don't want in my life right now. See, half of you is voting and half of you is not. But see, nonetheless, I believe that this service is recorded in heaven. See, God's trying to reach your heart. God's trying to turn some things around in your life. Now, you're either going to let the Word fall on good ground and you're going to be good ground, or you're going to sit there and you're going to be thinking about what you're having for lunch. Look here, for anybody that's new, we get out of here at 12 o'clock. I won't keep you a minute past. I grew up in church, and the worst thing is a long-winded preacher. Glory to God. And then I grew up and I became one. But we have to learn how to live above our circumstance, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. And you can't get in the fetal position every time that happens. Amen? You can't quit every time adversity comes knocking at your door. You can't give up every time that it doesn't go your way. You can't get mad at God every time something looks challenging. Because look here, you will be the most non-productive person ever. We have to learn how to live above our circumstance. And God has been really dealing with me about this, because there are things that I say, you know, God, why did that happen? Lord, I've done everything that I could do. How did this happen to me? See, you can't be stuck in that, because if you're stuck in that way of thinking, you will live in your past. You will live in that problem and you'll never be able to go anywhere else. You'll live in regret. You'll live in that failure. You'll live in that way of thinking. And God doesn't want you there, because God says, now this person right here, they're my kid. And because they're my kid, I've told them that they're the apple of my eye. I've told them that they are above and not beneath. See, it's high time that you realize just exactly who you are. Who you are. And see, when the world would live right here, because that's where they're really at, see, God says, live above your circumstance. When you've got every reason to hang your head low and there's things in your life that's not going good, God says, I paid a price for you to keep that head up. Now keep it up, because I'm going to turn the situation around. See, do you believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? Or do you feel like this is just a routine for you? Because if it's just a routine, your life is going to be just a routine. You have to choose, and that's why the Word of God says, now today is the day of salvation. Today, you choose. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? See, you are your own. See, God, when you were born with a free will. I discuss this with people in the jail ministry every Monday. Let's talk about your will. Let's talk about your will. See, because until your will changes, your situation ain't going to. Now, for the born-again, blood-bought, full of the Holy Ghost, child of God in here, and things aren't going your way, look here. We're going to talk about that today. I don't sit here and preach about things that are always pleasant, because life is not always pleasant. But life is one thing, real. Real. When you come up into Parish Christian Center and you sit down and you leave, I want you to think in your head. Now, you know what? That was kind of weird. That girl was loud. But by golly, it was real. It was real. That's what we're going after. I'm going to encourage you this morning to let this word sink into you, because there are going to be things, if you haven't already realized this, circumstance is going to come and circumstance is going to go, and that is life, because that is this life right here. God says, live your best life, and your best life is living above your circumstance. Do not waller in what you think ain't going right in your life. Amen. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. And we're looking at Paul here. And I want to name off some things to you today, because, you know, it's so easy for a pastor to say, well, you got to do this, this, and this. But you know what? I'm going to take you to chapter and verse. And if a pastor can't take you to chapter and verse, they're probably in error. They're probably in error. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 10 first, and it says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances are. So the first point, the first way that you're going to live above your circumstances found right here in the Word of God in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances are, whatever they are. You're not going to always like your circumstance. But by golly, you better make this your mission. Learn and say, God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over this mind that doesn't want to line up with the Word of God. Because, God, I ask that you would make me content. God, when I want to give up because it ain't going my way. Lord, when the thing that I thought would never happen to me, God, when it happens, God, teach me to even then be content. Because, God, I know that you're not done. See, you're going to either be content or you're going to be flat out miserable. And if you're miserable, you ain't doing nothing for nobody but glorifying Satan. Because look here, Satan eats it up when children of God are miserable. You make the choice. You're going to be happy despite all the stuff going on in your life, or you're going to be a miserable individual. You choose. You choose what you're going to be. Now, if this is strong, good. Get you a piece of it. I've learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. Melissa, was it easy to watch your house burn? Was it easy for you to hear that baby girl cry the worst cry I've ever heard in my life? No, it ain't easy. But one of the things that I can commend the heck out of you for is you were at least content in that circumstance. See, God's not asking you to like it. He didn't say you best like your circumstance. I got circumstances I'm not real happy about. But guess what? If they come knocking at your door, here's the deal. When God saved you, He didn't make you a little weenified girl. He said, you know what? I've made them a child of God. And by golly, when I made them, I gave them confidence. You open up that door and you say, hey, trouble, we're about to deal with you. That's what you got to be able to do. There's too much people shrinking back and being less than what they were supposed to do. I want to encourage you today to learn how to be content with what's going on in your life. A lot of people, they got one thing wrong with them, and it's this right here. Their moods are dictated by what's going on in their life. Is your mood dictated by what's going on with you? Here's what I realize, and I give myself a pep talk every Sunday morning when I'm getting ready. And if you ain't giving yourself pep talks, I highly advise you do. Because you got to get yourself in line before you can get anybody else in line. And I tell myself every Sunday morning, Kelly Mae, you're going to set the tone for this whole day, for this whole church. So what do? I go back there, and we have a leadership meeting. And I say, today, we are going to love on every single person in this place. Amen. Today, we're not going to be hypocrites, but we're going to be children of God, and we're going to let people come up in this place, and we're not going to be judgmental. We're going to be there. Yes. Amen. And we're going to love on them.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Now look here, from the leadership down, from the pastor to the youngest baby that sits up in this sanctuary, we all got to learn how to be content in our circumstance. I'm not telling you to like it, But I'm telling you, follow the Word of God. It's not going to lead you astray. Learn to be content. Learn to be content with it. Why? Because if you don't, you will spend all of your time, all of your energy, and all of your emotion being stuck in that situation, and you'll be miserable. And miserable loves company. You're going to let that spill out of your life, and everybody around you, your family, your children, the people that love you the most, that's going to seep off onto them. Look here, learn how to be content, because I promise you this, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you go to bed at night, He's not going to bed, Alyssa. He's on it. He's on it. When I'm talking to God and I'm telling Him all my problems, I'm saying, Daddy God, I'm going to go to bed. Because, Lord, You never sleep and You never slumber. So, therefore, God, I'm going to rest in who You said that You were. God, not because I'm able, but because, God, I know that You are well able. So, Lord, help me to be content. God, help me to not lose massive amounts of time during my day because I'm sad and grieved in my soul. Amen? So, in Philippians chapter 4, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances are. Here's what I have learned to do over the years. Whatever the circumstances are, whatever is a very big, broad word. And there are things that go on that I never would have thought gone on. They done gone happened. I don't know how to say that pretty, but it happened. Here's what I've learned to do. I've learned to say, God, I don't know how You're going to fix this. But God, I ain't You. So Lord, right now, I step back and I let You be God in this place. And I let You be God in this situation. So Daddy God, You've got my will. You've got my free will. I'm telling You right now, do what You want to do. I give it to You right now because, God, I don't know how to fix this. God, I don't know how it got to this point. God, I don't know what tomorrow will hold. God, I don't know what it's going to really take to have this to turn around. But, God, You know. And because You know, God, I'm going to just rest in who You are. I'm going to rest in who You've called me to be. So, in verse 12, it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So we just talked about the first point. The first point was be content. Be content. Your second point is develop an I can do attitude. Develop an I can do attitude. There are too many believers saying, I can't do that. I can't go through this battle. I can't go through this thing. I can't do this and I can't do that. Look here. Here's what I do. I'm very honest with God and I say, God, I can't, but I know that You can. So God, because You can, I can. Right. Yeah, God, me on my own, no, I couldn't do that for a minute. But God, because You're with me, because You said You'd never leave me, because You would said You'd never forsake me, You'll always be with me. God, I can do it. God, if this is the battle and the struggle and the road that I've got to go down, God, I can do it. You tell yourself, I can do this. You tell your soul, soul, take heart, I can do it. You tell your mind to line up with the Word of God, I can do this. God, if You brought me to this, You will bring me through this. There are too many Christians saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. No, You can. You need to shut off that stuff, say, I can't, and you need to say, God, I can and I'm willing. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Develop the mindset. Stop saying that you can't and tell yourself that you can. Tell yourself that you can. When I first became a pastor was when Corona hit, and I thought, God, I don't think I can do this. Germex is like a liquid gold, and everything about the entire world has just been shook upside down. And Lord, are you sure? Because I'm a little strange. Do you really want me pastoring in this season of life? Look here. In the Psalms, David said this, Lord, you enlarged my territory right in the middle of all my problems, right in the middle of all my distress. And look here, it don't matter. A lot of people say, well, when I get through this, I'm going to be able to be happy. When I get through this, I this. And when I get through this, then my family this. Look here, you better stop saying that, because let me tell you something. When that gets over, there's going to be something else happen. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I am preaching to you reality, though. They don't call me Pastor Real Deal for nothing. You're never going to be in a point in your life where every single thing is just fine. Okay, so stop brushing off and procrastinating being happy in your life, because God says, I want my kids to be full of joy. Full of joy. So yes, right in the middle of a pandemic, the Lord birthed the food ministry. The Lord birthed feeding the senior citizens. You know, last Monday we fed 170 senior citizens in this county. That doesn't happen just because somebody decided they wanted to do something. God needs one called person to suit up and to show up. That's what he needs. The problem is God has a real hard time finding just one. How do you live above your circumstance? You stop making everything about you. You stop making everything about you. A lot of people, well, I this or I that, I ain't going to be here, I ain't going to be there. You know what? I want to ask you something. The next time you really feel like you want to be slacking off, and I'm not getting into church attendance, but you know what? I'm not going to dance around it.
That's right.
It's going to be what it's going to be in this place, and what it's going to be is truthful.
Yes.
Somebody needs you. Church ain't just a pastor's job. It's the whole church.
That's right.
Right.
And realize the only thing I am is the one that stands in the front and says, let's go. We're going into battle. Let's go. We're going to get the manna center. Let's go. We're going to feed these people. Let's go. See, but when I look behind me, I want y'all right there behind me.
Amen.
It ain't up to just me. That ain't how life is. You ever heard the saying, it takes a village?
Amen.
It does. You want
to
make it? You keep your support team around you. Don't waller up in the bed in depression. Come to church and let us pray it off of you.
Yes, amen.
Now that wasn't a part of the message. Let me get back. Develop that I can do attitude. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And a lot of people say, I don't have the strength or the capability to do that. I don't have this, so I can't be this. I don't have, look here. Whatever you don't got, if God called you to it, he will equip you. He will equip you. He will definitely equip you. I can think of so many better people to do this other than myself. But God will call you, and he will equip you. So stop disqualifying yourself for the thing that God has for you to do. All God needs is a surrender. You want to live above your circumstance? You be who you're supposed to be. I push serving very hard. Dad goes, golly, Kelly Mae, you're a pusher and a shucker, and you get people going. And look here, I've always been that way. You know why? Because if you can ever get outside of yourself, you are on your way. So many people stay in the realm of it's all about me. Look here, when it's all about you, your problem is staying there. And it's going to get bigger. You are saved to serve.
Amen.
In every way. If God can get you out of yourself, he's going to move. You say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Look here. Stop telling God what you can't do. Start telling yourself what you can do.
Amen.
Who has a cell phone in here? I want to see. Do we all have cell phones? Okay, here's a little exercise that I do when I'm feeling depressed or when I'm feeling sad or I'm whatever. You know what? Living above your circumstance. You know what you can do? You can reach people where they're at in their circumstance. When I'm real down in the dumps and I feel like having a great pity party for myself, I get my cell phone out and I just say, Lord, I'm going to start at A and we're going to go down just as long as we need to get this attitude turned around. It's because, God, I don't want to live in this circumstance. I want to live above it. See, you're going to live in it or you're going to live above it. You're going to choose. What do you want to do? Do you want to live in your circumstance and feel that awful anxiety every time it goes up and down, up and down, up and down? Or do you want to be at that constant, consistent living above it? See, you're going to choose what you want to do. Not get that phone out, and I just started messaging. Sister Sally Sue, God loves you so much. Whatever you're going through, I'm praying God give you an answer right now in Jesus' name. Brother Billy, I know you've been praying for a new job, so I'm going to agree with you right now in Jesus' name. I just plead the blood of Jesus over that job. I tell it to come forth right now, right in the right time. See, can you give of yourself and your time when you don't feel like it? Or is it all about you and what you feel like? You really want to live above some things? Be above it. Have your character above it. Have your integrity above it. Have your everything above what you really want to do. There's too many Christians and they live in their life on a feeling and a whim. Your feelings aren't facts. Your feelings are not facts. I'm going to say it one more time. Your feelings are not facts. Why does Paul say, I've learned how to be content in all circumstances? He didn't come off saying, well, I was born with the ability to do that. No, I've learned. I've learned. When you're feeling down and you can't look at the situation the way you know you should, say, God, help me. Teach me. And God, help me to learn how to live and be content with this circumstance. Praise God. So 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 6. God gives you the strength. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Take that pressure off of yourself and realize that the strength is coming from God. It's not something that you have to produce. And I want to tell you that every circumstance, every battle, every struggle, it's growing your faith. It's making you who you are. The thing that you thought would break you, the thing that you thought would tear you down, the thing that you thought would ruin your reputation, the thing that you thought would make everybody else think what an awful person you are, I want to tell you something. That thing is just a drop in the bucket. God's got so much more for you than that. Don't let that get in your head. Don't live in that circumstance where you feel like one event in your life is going to be the end of you. It's not. Don't live in that circumstance where you feel like that one problem defines you. It's not. You are who God says that you are. The problem is that most believers do not know who the heck God said they were. You got to know, who does God say that I am? And then when you're looking at life and you're not happy with your life, say, God, how do I live above my circumstance? How do I go on and be happy when everything is going wrong? See, you'll find it in the Word of God. It's not enough for me to just sit here and preach to you for 45 minutes every Sunday morning. You got to get in the Word for yourself. I ain't going home with you and being in a little box. People are like, I just wish I could put you in a little box and take you home with me. Let me tell you something. You don't want that. You don't want me going home with you. All right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourselves. How do you live above your circumstance? Number one, be content. Number two, develop an I can do attitude. Number three, realize that you're doing it through him. The strength is coming from him. Number four, be humble. Be humble. Be humble. You really want to live above the circumstance? Be humble. How do you do that? Well, here's how I do it. I can't preach out of anybody's life but mine. If I preached out of y'all's, you'd get offended and you'd leave. So I got to preach out of mine. Sherry, this is what I do. When you're a pastor, there's a tendency for people to put you on an unrealistic pedestal that you can never live up to what they have of you in their mind. And that puts so much pressure on pastors, it makes people just want to just leave the ministry. And what I have learned to do is this right here. How do I keep myself straight? How do I keep myself that way? I try to keep myself extremely humble. I'm not better than anybody. I will roll my sleeves up and work beside anybody. I will love anybody. I will be good to anybody. I will feed anybody. Be humble. Be humble. When people want to say, oh, are you the pastor that got that huge grant and this and that and this and that? And I say, you know what? I'm the pastor of Parish Christian Center, but God did all of that. God did all of that. I can't take credit for none of that. But yes, that happened at Parish Christian Center, but don't kid yourself. God did it. Not only did he do it, he did all of it. He did all of it. Humility, humility, humility. Humility. Humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Humble. And there's a promise here. And it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand. When you do that, when you walk in humility, when you allow yourself to just be a person and be humble, then God does something. That he may lift you up in due time. That he may lift you up in due time. So many people are walking around and they're trying to lift their self up. They're trying to puff their self up. They're trying to do all this thing. Self, 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 self. Look here. Ain't nobody lift you up better than God. Amen. Ain't nobody make you look good like God can. There is nothing better than the favor of God. Amen. There is nothing better than the provision of God. Amen. How do you get there? Humble. Be humble. Be humble. And then what happens is he'll lift you up in due time. Due time. Everybody that is in a struggle right now, I want to tell you something. If you don't hear anything else in this message, I want you to hear this. God wants you to hear it. You got your due time. You got your due time. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, you got to know that what you're going through, your current circumstance, you must live above it because, baby, you ain't staying there. You ain't staying there. And because you're not staying there, you're going to rise above it and you're going to live in that glory place where only God and you are there. See, how do you want to live? I want you to get up. I want you to at least be inspired to live above your circumstance by the time you leave here this morning. I can't make you do it, but I can sure encourage you to do it. Humble yourself because in due time, he will lift you up. There are things, and I'm saying, God, you're going to have to lift this situation up. And God reassures me every day, Kelly, in due time, in due time. There's a shelf life to your problem. It is not going to last forever. It is not going to last forever. God will not allow you to go through that one moment longer than you need to. God is not a child abuser. He doesn't deal with his children in that way. But you know what? He helps you every moment, through every battle, through every circumstance. He helps you. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Verse 7, how do you live above your current circumstance? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Your anxieties, your concerns, your stresses, the irritations, these are all a product of your current circumstance. Your circumstance has produced that anxiety. Your current battle has produced that stress. Your current problem has produced that staying up at night, the unrest. See, all of those things are just symptoms of your circumstance. I worked in the medical field for 14 years before I got into the ministry full time, and the doctors would say this: if you got a sinus infection, well, it's viral. Well, I always hated hearing viral because that means there's not a darn thing they can do about it. And they would say, treat it symptomatically. You got a fever? Take some Tylenol. You got a you feel like it's sinus? Take the over-the-counter sinus medicine, and it would be symptomatic. And here's the thing. All of that anxiety, all that stress, that's a symptom of your circumstance. How do you treat those symptoms? You do what I told you to do. You're saved to serve, so serve when you're going through the worst time of your life. Love on people. Suit up and show up. The last, I'm going to be human for a minute. Is that okay? Okay. I always have to ask. Please don't put me on a pedestal that I can never live up to. For over a year and a half, we've never been rained out on a Wednesday. And it has decided that it's going to rain every Wednesday. And we do our food ministry every Wednesday to the community at 12 o'clock. And I was driving. Well, actually, I'm going to back up. I got up both of those Wednesdays, and I could hear that thunder, and I could hear that rain, and I thought, I do not want to be out in that rain. Ugh. And then I started thinking about all the people that have said, we wouldn't eat if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't be able to have enough if it wasn't for that food distribution. I began to think about that, and I thought, you know what, God? When it has rained cats and dogs in my life, when I've been so grief-stricken that I couldn't even get out of bed, God, you made sure that I had exactly what I needed. So God, right now, I choose to not live in my feelings because my feelings are not facts. But God, I choose right now to suit up and to show up. See, you want to live above your circumstance? You be who you're supposed to be on your bad days. You be that person. You show God, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. God, you've been faithful. You want to live above your circumstance? Don't skip a beat. Don't skip a beat. Somebody said, well, so-and-so was saying this about you. It was the other day. I said, I've been so good doing God's work, I haven't even noticed what that gossiper's been saying. It's amazing how you don't hear things when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Lord, help them. And help me not to help them. Glory. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so the devil is not a roaring lion, but he prowls around like one. He's like a chihuahua, and his bark is like a Great Dane. These big old animals, and they do all their things. The word says, you know what, on the last day, we're going to look at the devil, and we're going to say, is that little twerp? That's the one that got us in all that trouble? That's the one that got us all sinning? That's the one that enticed us to do all this? Oh my gosh! That little thing? Look here. Resist him standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I want to tell you something. You're not the only one that has gone through what you're going through right now. Now, the devil loves to get people to feel alone in their battle and alone in their struggle. You are not the only one struggling. You are not the only one that has struggled the way that you're currently struggling now. One of the things that you have to be able to do to live above your circumstances, resist. Resist the devil and stand firm. You've got to do some resisting. Resist. 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 Resist that. How do you resist it? Don't even put yourself in a position where you're going to be tempted to do it. Resist it. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to think that way. No, I'm not going to go that place. No, I'm not going to be around that person. No, I'm not going to get into that negative train of thought where I feel like nothing's getting any better. No, I'm not going to be easily offended. No, I'm not going to buck up. No, I'm going to take that correction. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. Resist. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Here is one thing you can take to the bank. How do you live above your circumstance? I just brought you to chapter and verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Some of you have got some restoring that needs to take place. Some of you need some strength. You need God to make some things firm. You need God to make you steadfast. Look here. I know that God is doing all those things. So when I get into a real battle, Sherry, I'm going to remember that God said in his word he was going to do those four things for me. So I'm not going to live in defeat. When I get in a bad day and I feel like everything is awful in that day, Aunt Patty, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give myself a time out. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to think and I'm going to quiet my spirit and I'm going to say, God, right now, show me some things. You know what I do? When I start thinking some problem is going to last forever, I'll sit down, I'll get everything quiet, and I'll begin to see that problem turn around. I'll see it. You got to see some things in the spirit before you're going to ever see them in the natural realm.
That's right.
Years ago, there were houses that we had bought. They're moved now. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about because you didn't come till after that battle. Be glad you didn't. And I was so stressed about getting those houses off that property because I thought, who's going to want those houses? Those houses are gross. Those houses, oh, nobody would want that. And it was so stressful. And I'd open up the door. One day I was opening up the door, and God said, Kelly, look over there, look at those houses, and you picture them gone. You see them gone. How do you live above your circumstance, Megan? All of us do it. We play things in our mind. Sometimes the reason why we can't get out of our circumstance is because we keep replaying past hurts, past regrets, past failures, past irritations, past things that people have said. What we have to do is we have to turn that off and we have to allow our mind to go to a different place. I see me getting past this point of this battle. I feel me getting that joy again. I see that this is not going to be in my life forever. I know God is turning it around, and you begin to see things. You begin to see it. The other day, I was in a store. God said, Kelly, start thinking about what kind of such and such you want for the Manna Center. Can you see it? Can you see yourself getting up out of that? Can you see yourself being able to just be again? Can you feel that you can be whole again? See, you got to live above your circumstance. Because if not, the devil will keep you right there in that moment. He's got you. Next place for me, Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How to live above your circumstance. Realize that in your circumstance, your mouth and your words have extreme power in your circumstance. Your tongue, what you say, has extreme power over your circumstance. What are you saying about your problem every day? What are you telling your mind? What are you telling your heart? What are you saying when people ask you? That's the worst. Because one of two things is going to happen when people ask you how you are. Oh, I'm great. Everything's great. Or, everything is so awful. Ugh, the problem just keeps getting worse and worse. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be stuck with this issue from now until eternity. See, what are you saying? What are you saying? Because, Kiele, what you're saying is key. What you're saying is key. So you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And I'm going to bring out a certain point, and I heard this. Never possess what you want to release. I'm going to say it three times. Never possess what you want to release. Never possess what you want to release. I think it's getting a little bit cold, so I want my Deacon Sam to turn these airs to where it's going to kick off. Never possess what you want to release. My mother is the sweetest woman I know, and I got none of that. It is not genetic. And our family, in the past 5 years, I'm pretty sure has been to hell and back. Now, if you're a religious person and you don't like that statement, you're going to have to get over it. Because we pretty well did. We went to hell and back. All right? I never thought somebody as sweet as Sister Millie could get cancer. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. That's what I know. Never possess what you want to release. One of the most powerful things that my mother never did, and she was healed. She never said, well, my cancer. Well, I got to go to check up for my cancer. I got to go to my cancer doctor. I got my cancer this and my cancer that. Never possess what you want to release. Never possess what you want to release. Do you want to keep your cancer? You want to keep your problem? If not, then quit calling it yours. Right. Never possess what you want to release. Never possess what you want to release. God's trying to help somebody in here. Never possess what you want to release. I caught myself the other day saying, well, my anxiety is just through the roof. God said, Kelly, never possess what you want to release. That anxiety does not belong to you. I did not give that to you. What did we learn last week? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Never possess what you want to release. Whatever's going on in your life, stop calling it yours. Does the battle belong to God or does it belong to you? Whose is it? Whose is it? See, the word says that the battle belongs to the Lord. But you're going to make that decision. Who does it belong to today? Does it belong to you or does it belong to him? If it belongs to him, you stop calling it yours.
That's right. Amen.
You stop calling it yours. Do you need some things to turn around? Well, the power of life and death, it's in the tongue. Start telling it to go. Why does the word say if you had just a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain, tell the mountain to go, and it would go? You have to know who you are. You have to be willing to live above your circumstance. It is not easy, but it is a must. Next place for me, Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to look at verse 8 to 12. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How do you live above your circumstance? You have the knowledge and the wisdom to know that God's ways and his thoughts are so much higher than yours. When we would think we were done for, and it could never be healed, it could never be better, God steps in and he says, I'm making all grace abound. I'm turning it around. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how you can live above your circumstance. Has God ever been late for you? Has he ever not come through? That's how you can live above your circumstance. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. If you're going through something today, I want you to hear this. So is my word that comes out of my mouth. Look here. Everything in here is the word of God. You need to get alone in your prayer closet, and you need to say, God, speak to me, because whatever comes out of your mouth, I can take it to the bank. It's not enough for you to just come here to church and hear whoever's preaching. That's not enough. The Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, this is your life. It's yours. You make the decisions. Now, your decision can be, I'm going to let God make all the decisions. Or your decision can be, I'm going to make all of them and they're going to all be bad. But see, you need to choose. And if you want to have your best life, you're going to have that life and you're going to live above your circumstance. Because your circumstance can change in a moment. Several years ago, I was going through what I thought would be the worst battle in my life. Boy, if I could go back to them type of problems, I gladly would. Now I'm like, oh, I got major problems. Back then, those were my major problems. But I was going through some rough times, and my dad had called me, and I remember I was sitting on the steps of my stairs in my home, and I was crying as hard as I could cry. And I said, Dad, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's going to be really hard for you to do, but I mean every word of it. I'm asking you to just not fight this battle for me. I'm asking you to sit back and let me do it. I'm going to have to do this. This is between me and God. See, God's trying to help you. I remember telling God, God, I can't do this one more day. There's that I can't attitude. And I got up and I walked down the stairs and he said, Kelly, you can take this one more day. You can. I went on to do it many more days. But there was one day I woke up and that was the day. That problem was gone in a moment. Your circumstance can change in a moment. God can turn it around in a moment. All you need is one touch of his favor. The thing that doesn't ever change is God himself. I, the Lord, never change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is how you can live above your circumstance. God does not change. 5 years ago when he came through for you and he helped you and he healed your body and he mended that brokenness and he made that situation turn around, that's exactly how you can live above your circumstance. He never changes. Last place for me, Hebrews chapter 13.
Hallelujah.
Verse 8.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you'll go through 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty, this is the best part of my calling. You know why, Sherry? Because God has a 100% track record. It's not like I'm up here trying to sell you a product that's going to work 95% of the time. This is going to work for you every time. Every time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to minister to that person right now, and you've said, you know what? This has really ministered to me today because I've got something going on in my life, and there's an inner struggle, and I'm battling. One day the battle belongs to the Lord, and the next day I'm taking it back over again. If you're ready to just completely give that over and live above your circumstance, I'm going to ask you to stand because God is going to meet you right in that place where you can't, right in the place where you're struggling. Now, if you plan on walking out of here and keeping your life the same and you're the boss, I wouldn't stand if I was you. I'm going to ask you to take it a step further. I'm going to ask you to begin to lift your hands. Why? Because, see, God wants to fill that part of your life where you're coming up short. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, God, your word has been planted. Lord, I thank you that it's going to grow. I ask you to water it. And God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to walk down every single aisle in this place. God, search every heart. Lord, for the people that are watching this on Facebook Live, Lord, I thank you right now, God, that your presence is right there with them. God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would take these burdens off of your children. Lord, I thank you that you're replacing a grief, God, with joy right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're replacing stress and anxiety, God, with your peace, not as the world gives, but God, as you give. So, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person under the sound of my voice. I tell those problems to go right now in Jesus' name. I tell you right now to be healed from the very top of your head to the soles of your feet. I speak to addiction. People keep going back to it. You don't want to, but you keep yourself going. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask that you'd help that person right now in Jesus' name. God, I believe that you've done a work in this place this morning. God, the only person that's responsible for that is you. So, God, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all of everything, God. We give it over to you right now, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed. We'll see you at 5:30 tonight.